I think that's that was just you getting that, Zach.
Maybe, but what I mean is just like she's got a big personality and she's really charismatic in that kind of way.
That's confidence. You have a thing for confidence.
That is true. I do.
Hmm. Don't know why you would date a little lad like me.
A little lad.
I'm just a little guy.
Just a little guy. Cassie, are you a Dalek? Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we are looking at the Easter special from 2009. Also the 200th story of Doctor Who. From the first airing of An Unearthly Child.
The Planet of the Dead.
A Planet of the Dead, yes.
You want to hear something sad?
What's
and
that?
Silly? So I remembered that one of our mutual friends' favorite things to do sometimes is to just break out into a flurry of and so I was like, oh my god, Planet of the Dead, or like Planet of the Apes, like something similar to that. Just randomly throughout this episode I can just start going It doesn't have the same, like, ring and joy to it as going. Like, that's also just more fun to do. And then when I was writing down the name in my journal, I did write down Planet of the Apes. So,
well, why don't we talk about that a little bit? What would you be expecting from the 200th story of Doctor Who?
Zombies.
Zombies.
We haven't seen any, like, undead.
We had, like, the ghosts. We had the Geth, which were fake ghosts.
Yeah, but we haven't really seen any like zombies. We've seen werewolf.
Yeah, we have seen a werewolf.
We've seen giant wasp. Where's the wasp? Oh my god! So funny. What a choice. So we've seen that, but I don't feel like we've seen any, like, classic undead. And you said Easter, so what's more ironic?
Jesus came back from the dead as a zombie?
They didn't say how.
He ate brains for our sins.
I mean, technically, Jesus was wrapped up in a cave and then rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven. They did not clarify in the Bible whether or not he was in it wrapped up in a cocoon and then flew into heaven with his new butterfly wings. Jesus is Mothman. What I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at, Zach.
Just Jesus, like, could I have a taste of your shirt? I died for your sins. Give me your shirt. Jesus. Jesus.
Aw, man. Those are my favorite Dickies, Jesus.
I need those for work.
Jesus, I got those on sale from Goodwill.
Moth Jesus.
You know what they say? Peace on earth and goodwill.
There's a Goodwill? Lots of clothes at a Goodwill. Jesus.
No.
Those are for the poor, Jesus. I'm poor.
I mean, he is absolutely naked. We should let him into the Goodwill.
So besides zombies, is there anything in particular you think you'd be expecting from Planet of the Dead? Apes?
Yeah. Why not? Dead zombie apes? They have that as a maze at HHN this year.
All right. Well, that does sort of answer one of the Cassie Brafassi questions I had for the day. Which was, what exactly do you think makes it a Planet of the Dead?
Well, based solely off of the fact that the thumbnail does spoil it a little bit, is only sand.
Is only sand.
Which, as we've seen in past shows, typically if there's only sand, there is either nothing out there, or there is a museum hidden underneath the sand. So I don't think that there is secret museum run by a very old owl in this.
I think you're thinking of Avatar the Last Airbender. I think you're mixing up the shows I've shown you.
No, I saw that in a dream, Zach. It was real.
But you're not expecting any, like, Dune Daleks. Daleks of the Dunes.
Exterminate! You have to walk really carefully because, oh, Daleks can't roll on sand. They just fall right over.
No cyber mummies.
No, I'm stuck on Daleks on the Daleks in sand. Because, you know, like they have those big like wheelchairs that you can get for if you're not able to walk on sand. You got to roll through it. And they got those fat wheels. I've never seen a Dalek with a set of fat wheels. So, you know, they would just kind of
just
topple over into the sand.
Daleks decked out like Mad Max cars. What a lovely day. What a lovely day. Witness me.
Fuck. I was trying to. I was thinking about it, but all I could think about was. Look at me.
So you think the planet of the dead is that there are zombies on this planet is what we're getting at?
I guess so. I can't really think of anything else. And frankly, my guy, I don't really have the spoons to think of anything else. So I'm going to go with that. Or the planet is like dead.
The planet itself is.
Well, like planet of the dead. There is sand. I don't know what the doctor would be doing on a planet that's got nothing. But
okay, so the planet itself is dead, is what you
well,
are.
Well, no, I'm just spitballing here, my guy.
Okay, just throwing stuff at the wall until you feel...
I'm just... Yeah.
Shaping your clay until you get to the true profassi underneath.
Yeah, I've knitted a sweater and now I've undone it because I didn't like the way that it looked.
There wasn't enough love in the stitches.
My thread tension was off, Zach. I had to redo it. Yeah, I'm just gonna go with zombies. Why not?
Okay, so zombies it is. Zombies and Doctor Who. It is about time you got you some zombie action, huh?
I don't think I'm right.
Okay.
But I also like the idea of a zombie episode happening on Easter weekend more than anything
You're
else.
You're trying to manifest it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for the second part of the profassi today, I will tell you that this does have a new alien species in it. So unfortunately, the Daleks of the Dune is not to come.
Fuck.
But I will tell you that they, despite all the sand you see here, they do resemble a form of marine life.
Horseshoe crabs.
Horseshoe crabs?
Yeah.
I'll even take crabs just so I don't like you don't feel cheated if it's a different kind of crab.
Okay. Horseshoe crabs.
Okay, so crabs it is.
If I'm correct with horseshoe crab, I get double point.
Well, we will find...
If it's a fucking seal or some shit like in Gerudo Town, I'm going to freak out.
Well, we will find out together as you and I watch the 200th story of Doctor Who in Planet of the Dead.
Did somebody say zombie? Hey there, gang. It's me again, Johnny the Zombie, here to tell you about today's returning sponsor, HelloFresh. Are you having difficulty cooking your brains because one of your arms fell off due to the natural decay of your body in this bitch of an afterlife? Well, HelloFresh has options for that and any other dietary restrictions you might have. No teeth? No problem. Jaw fully unhinged? There's options for that too. Even gluten-free. Just go to HelloFresh.gov and enter the promo code BRAIN to get 3 free necks with your first box. HelloFresh, it's brain food.
And we are back from Planet of the Dead. Wow, David Tennant? I had no idea you'd be here.
Yeah. Did you know? Did you know I could make sounds like that?
Of course I did. You mean to tell me you didn't think I knew you were a creepy little cryptid? You, all that talk about Mothman in the first half was just you trying to obfuscate for your own cryptidhood.
No.
So yes, that was Planet of the Dead. How would you feel about it, Cassie?
Oh man, I don't want to say I loved it. Mm-hmm. I'm just so, I can like preemptively tell we're probably, I would be elated if we saw more of Christina. I don't think we will.
So there was at least a rumor that she was going to be Matt Smith's first companion. That after this, that she was going
to come. Because I kind of loved her because she was just clever enough to be on par with the Doctor.
Well, it's also the first time we've had a companion that's kind of a not great person, and not in like the Rose is a teenager, no, and teenagers aren't great.
This felt like a D&D campaign. She's very like chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
And also like really pretty.
Oh, she's very pretty.
She really pretty. But like there was a moment and it's right after like the cataclysmic event, which we'll get to, but where she starts taking charge. And I went, oh my God, she's a full-on main character.
Yeah.
Like, very rarely have I watched an episode of the show with the Doctor and his companion where I went, whoa, look at these two main characters. Mm-hmm. It's typically
one or the other.
Yes.
Which, you know, not necessarily a bad way to write the show. It means that each show has someone different in the steering wheel. But this is the first time you're like, okay, she's a very strong personality that has that has nice levels of contrast and similarity with the Doctor.
And like, I like that she's not like a good person.
Yeah.
She's a thief. Damn it.
And seeps. And the only justification they give for it is
a liar.
She's a thief, but she's only a thief basically for the kick of it. Like there's no, like, oh, I'm doing this to save an orphanage somewhere. It's like, no, I'm rich and bored, and this is how I get my kicks. It is stealing shit. Now, granted, she stole from the British International Museum. She stole one of the few things that isn't someone else's property.
I was gonna say the item specifically that she stole was a gift from the King of Wales in 420.
Yeah, to the King of England. So
in
there's
420. I know it wasn't. That's not the year, but we'll pretend like it is for the rest of this podcast, because boy, howdy, if I were also a 420 type king.
I mean, they do say this episode takes place in April, so it could have been on 420.
I do love the idea of getting really high and then having a golden chalice from which to drink the water I so desperately need to counteract the cotton mouth.
This episode did not come out on 420. It came out on 411.
I mean, that's 2 months before an actual national holiday. So.
One that our viewers still have yet to figure out.
Oh, no, I gave myself away. You'll never guess my middle name. New challenge.
So
it's not protective, as the initials would lead you to believe it is. CPS. Cassandra Protective Shima.
So I do think it was a really interesting choice for like a big milestone story like that. Like I would have expected like we're doing our 200th story. So it's got to be big and got to be a lot of like cameos.
We're
whatever,
protecting the Queen of England. Nope.
Yeah, but it just it's a bus that landed in the desert. And, you know, there's a part of me that's like I can appreciate that they just decided to tell a good story.
Yes.
They were just like, it's just going to be about the Doctor and what the Doctor does. And that's all it needs to be.
It's going to be the Doctor, a very charismatic companion, a bus full of average fucking Joes.
And also Daniel Kaluuya for some reason.
Okay, cool. I did recognize him.
Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out and Black Panther is Barclay on the bus, alongside the likes of Andrew Garfield and Felicity Jones in the people that do bit parts in Doctor Who and go on to become super famous.
I love that the episode opens on a heist.
Yeah, that's...
I fucking love a heist.
There is a part where I watch it and I'm like, am I watching Doctor Who right now? But then the doctor just like shows up and you're like, oh, okay.
You see his stunt double flashing his little psychic paper and walking by in his little shoesers.
Yeah, getting on the bus.
Yeah.
Because that's his psychic paper is his lobster card. If you really like this opening on a heist, you'd be really excited in a few seasons when we get to an episode called Time Heist.
Depends on what it's about.
It's about a time heist.
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out in a few seasons at least how you feel about that. So, yes. And then the doctor shows up with his little remote with the satellite dish pop out of it. And I love derpy little props like that. More shows need to have dopey little props.
But in what context would you have dopey little props?
Like the thing is, they don't need like
that.
They don't need a lot of context. It's literally just I'm following a thing. Look at my remote. It follows the thing. The dish spins. And they even point out like, oh, the dish is spinning.
Ah, the little dish is going round.
Fascinating.
You know that was because whoever was on props went, I made the dish spin. Write it in.
Just shaking David Tennant by the coat.
Ad lib.
I need you to improvise. Point out that it spins. I worked so hard on it making it spin.
It has the same energy as Donkey and Shrek. Look at that boulder. That's a nice boulder.
Look at that dish. That is a spinning dish.
Yeah.
And then the bus plows through a wormhole and lands on a desert planet. The planet of the dead. Which you had guessed... Zombies.
I had guessed zombies. I also said that this was a dead planet, and I really wish I had stuck with a dead planet.
Yeah, because I probably would have accepted that. Well, I mean, because it sort of is that the whole bit
like,
was
like,
I
don't know how else you would describe a flying horseshoe crab monster.
Yeah, you do get points for the horseshoe crab, and because you specifically said if it looks like a horseshoe crab, I get double points, and I didn't like say no. I guess I got to give you 2 points.
Yeah, because it did fly like a manta ray. That is very true and accurate. Yeah,
manta ray or stingray was what I was going for.
Like a horseshoe crab.
It was armored like a horseshoe crab. And even then, like, a horseshoe crab doesn't look that dissimilar from a stingray.
No, it does not.
They do say at the end of the episode, stingray. So that's why that's what I was going for. But the fact that you, like, the funny thing is, if you had said any other type of crab, I wouldn't have taken it. But horseshoe crabs specifically, shockingly accurate.
I had a hunch.
You just had to marinate in the Cassie Brafassi sauce for a little bit, and eventually you got a perfect Brafassi.
Sometimes if I don't, not a perfect Brafassi, because I did say the first thing, but then I went back on myself and said zombies. That was my mistake. Sometimes, so I'm really on it. I was only 50% on it today.
You still get both points. You still get 2 points. Technically, you get two. The best kind of two.
A technical two.
And the episode itself isn't super like packed. If that makes sense. Like the pace, it's pretty slowly paced because the story is effectively they're stuck on a bus, and they can't drive.
Well, yeah, because I do like that they had the bus driver specifically showcase what happens to you if you try to run back through the wormhole.
Yeah.
Because I had that same thought of, well, why don't they just go back through one by one?
And but
it turns out you turn into a skeleton.
Turn into a skeleton. Not a zombie, but a skeleton.
Yeah, spaghettification happens, but your skeleton, for whatever reason, survives.
Well, because much like the bus was a cage for all of them, your skin and muscles are a cage for your bones.
Zach, I'm going to need you to not say that ever again.
I forget that you don't like that you're a meat mech piloted by electricity.
Then why am I so depressed? That's the worst part. I'm a meat mech. I'm stronger than this. Why do brain chemicals say you're going to feel really bad about yourself for like 4 days? Mm. That was a joke. Ha 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 ha. Funny. Anyway, so the doctor was also like strangely very optimistic. Because that one, Angela, Erica, whatever her name is, white lady. She starts freaking out that they're all going to die. And he has everybody say, like, well, why were you on this bus? What were you doing? You were getting home. Okay, where is home? What is home? And going through everybody one by one after Christina had everybody introduce themselves. And
all right, everybody get in a circle.
Basically,
we're going to sing Kumbaya.
She put, she was already wearing the pants.
Specifically the pants that she used to steal a chalice.
Yeah, it was also the backpack of many things that I loved. The folding spade, the tiny hand axe. Very much like my bag, because now, I know you know this, but our listeners might not. I just have a baggie in my purse at all times that has a medicine, a cure for whatever might ail you. I am so prepared. The only thing I don't have in that bag is something to treat gluten intolerance.
Something for pain, something for your tummy, something for if you're itchy, and then some snake oil just in case.
No, it's not snake oil. It is peppermint oil. But that's if all else fails, you're overheating, pop one of those bitches on your body. Boom, you're cool now. Oh, no, you got tummy ache and the other tummy ache stuff didn't help. Peppermint oil. Bad breath. Peppermint oil.
Olive oil's cousin. Peppermint oil. Yes, you were correct, though. It was Angela. Do you remember any other names? Because they did say that there could be a test on the names.
Excellent. Memorize those names. There might be a test.
Louis.
Louis is one of them.
Hi. Hulu.
Did you say Hulu? Like the streaming service?
I say Hulu.
Are you talking about Daniel Kaluuya? Is that what you're trying to get to?
Maybe. Well, no, Barclay. Okay, yeah, that was his name.
Barclay.
I was going to say it was something that was had a hard k sound in it. Nathan? Nathan was another
one. Nathan was another one.
Barclay, Nathan, Louis, Angela, Renee?
Renee was not one of them.
What was the lady's name? The psychic lady.
Oh, you mean the slightly psychic woman whose psychic powers were amplified by an alien sun? Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah, and was just a plot device so that way we knew that they knew what the doctor was doing because she apparently could see it when he wasn't there.
Yeah, you know how your brain's affected by the sun? You know how that's a thing that happens?
Hey, do you know that that's actually a real fucking study?
I mean, I understand that the light from the sun will impact things like your sleep cycle. But I don't picture that you being in the presence of a different sun would make you slightly more psychic than usual.
It's not the sun. It would be the moon.
Right. That's science, obviously.
Audience at home, I'd like you to understand Zach is chuckling like this is a joke. I am stone faced. This is not a joke to me. Very much like the sun and the moon itself. We are opposites. However, one helps the other shine bright. And the other controls.
The other doesn't need any help.
Yeah.
The other is full of gas.
Yeah. Which is also really ironic. He's wearing a yellow shirt. I'm in all black. It's just...
Yeah. Angela, Nathan, Carmen, Lou, and Barclay.
Carmen.
Yes. And then also the bus driver. They, as they're getting off on the bus, though. Oh, speaking of the bus, did you catch that it was the bus number 200? Because that is the 200th story of Doctor Who.
That's cheeky.
It's the plot vehicle.
I don't get it.
When they land on this desert planet, something is watching them. Something that makes little noises that you really liked. Noises that apparently David Tennant can also make very well.
Yeah.
You speak the language.
Every language.
begging for mercy.
Who knew?
I wonder if he just could do that, or if he, or how hard he had to work to.
Can you do it?
Ow.
But the specific, like.
Is that what you wanted? I'm a dinosaur.
That's how I would talk to Rosie sometimes. Rosie is a bird. She's dead now, but that's how you can speak to her.
That's the only way she can hear you at this point.
Yeah.
And so as they're wandering around the desert planet, they are trying to find something, literally anything. And Christina introduces herself as Lady Christina D'Souza.
Do you think she's telling the truth? I think she's lying.
I think she's telling the truth. I think the premise of her character is that she's incredibly rich and incredibly bored.
Her one-shot character.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a valid, like, especially considering this is sort of a one-shot for her, that she's only come back in big finish audio projects. So so the character still does things, but she wasn't written with the intention of really coming back.
Which is such a shame.
Yeah. Like if this wasn't David Tennant's last run, I could very well see her going on as David Tennant's companion for his next season if he had.
It's like
one.
They were made for each other.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of were. They were made in a writer's room for each other.
Ugh. This is the first time where I was like, okay, I see you, Tumblr girlies. I am right here with you.
Well, I
typically make fun of you, but now I understand. It was like the second you had shown me Astarion after like hyping him up for me for like several weeks. And then
you cross your arms like, okay, show me what you got, Baldur's Gate. And now here he's like your phone wallpaper.
No, right now it's the count.
and your laptop wallpaper.
Yeah, my wallpaper right now is what if scenes from Twilight, but instead of Edward, he's been replaced by the Count from the Muppets.
And so as she introduces herself as Lady Christina D'Souza, and the doctor goes, well, I'm a lord. And she's like, oh, really? Where? And he's like, oh, it's quite a big estate. Which sounds, in fairness to Christina, sounds like bullshit. I'm from Canada. I'm a lord from Canada. You probably haven't heard of where I'm from.
A lord from a big estate. Yeah, there's no more estate because it's gone.
It's quite
you're homeless.
It's quite a big state, Texas. I'm from Texas. Hello, I'm the doctor, and I'm from Texas.
Are you satisfied with yourself?
That's not that much worse than David Tennant's English accent.
Are you proud of yourself for that joke?
I'm pretty proud of it, yeah.
Okay.
California, I am. Ish posh. If we have any British viewers, they have just unsubscribed.
Oh, well, they've already heard me do my little Dickensian street urchin.
You know, make a good point. As they come back to the bus and are trying to come up with a plan, we meet the real hero of this story, Malcolm.
Oh, Manzers.
What a perfectly cast character Malcolm was. Like, that actor... 110% that character.
That actor is probably just a big fan of the show. And they went, you get
he won
to
a contest.
Be, yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, you get to just be the biggest effing nerd. And he went, sign me up.
Sign me up, sir.
Yeah. He said, no, but he was Irish. Sign me up, sir.
Well, of course, sir. I think he wasn't Irish. I believe he's
doesn't matter.
Oh, but people are going to get mad at me if I'm wrong, if it's wrong.
Everybody get mad at Zach in 3, 2, 1.
Oh my God. Scouse. He's Scouse. Jesus. He has a Scouse accent, which is a very specific region, I believe, between Ireland and the UK. And so it when you hear it, it's undeniable that that's where it's from. I just forgot the name of it for a second.
Well, too bad. Everybody already got mad at you,
and he's
Zach.
He's got a unit of measurement he names after himself.
What was the one in particular you liked?
That 10 Malcolms make a Bernard.
Yeah.
Because it's Bernard, but with a Scouse accent, it's a Bernard.
You named a unit of measurement after yourself.
Well, it didn't do Mr. Watt any harm. Furthermore, 100 Malcolms equals a Bernard.
And who's that, your dad?
And it's just, I really like a Scouse accent. And it's really hard to do correctly.
I was going to say, do more, do more.
Well, because there's later on, there is another companion who is Scouse, and it's a whole thing for him that he is Scouse. And it's just a fun voice to do. I'm trying to think of who else is like famous with that accent. But it's a lot of fun.
I like that you can only do it by being a slightly deflated Miss Piggy.
Ooh, Kermy.
Yeah.
Come over to my place in Yorkshire. Malcolm apparently is a legitimate genius, though. The doctor is very impressed by him. And he's like, the doctor just, I don't know if the doctor is doing this to be mean or what, but there is a part of it where the doctor is like being overly nice to Malcolm. I think just to keep him on his side and keep him, because I think he knows he can't trust UNIT for a damn. So he's like, Malcolm, you're my new best friend. And then he hangs up on him. Which I think is just like, I'm going to abuse this little social anxiety this kid has.
I also feel like the doctor in this particular episode is extremely cheeky. And I think it's partially because Christina brings out this like bad kid quality in him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also something to be said of when the doctor's alone. That's kind of the default he takes is he gets kind of like he becomes kind of cheeky. I've mentioned it before that when the doctor was between Rose and Martha, when Martha finds him in the hospital, the doctor's being kind of a little jerk. Like maybe not a jerk, but he's being a little turd. Like he's a little overconfident. Like, he's like swaggering into places he probably shouldn't be swaggering into.
The way that I would describe it, and it's not an adjective, but it is a characteristic of people like this, where they have a quote shit eating grin, unquote. And it's just that, like,
I know something you don't know.
I'm better than everybody in this room, but I'm also going to play along because I am the smartest. Yeah, sorry. I'm just better. Oh, you're in charge? Okay, you be in charge. Have fun.
Oh, sure. You're in charge of the group. No big deal. And then when Lady Christina says, all right, doctor, your turn to speak. He goes, oh, I thought you were in charge.
She goes, I'm a leader and I'm smart enough to know where my strongest assets are. Your turn. Like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, it is. There almost feels like a chess match between the two of them. I enjoy that at the like early on in the
episode. This is the first time I genuinely felt like the doctor and his companion were intellectual equals.
Yeah, certainly in like the like obviously the doctor is super intelligent, but in the level of like cleverness in the way it like banter back and forth with somebody, it is the most equal I think he's been, even more so than Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Like Donna was. Sort of equal, but she was equal and opposite.
Well, Donna also did not think very highly of herself.
Mm-hmm.
She was proud of herself for being super temp, but did not ever really feel like she was anything extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Christina knows she is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the sense that even if she isn't, she is confident enough to make you believe she is.
Mm-hmm. And so the doctor and Christina wander away from the bus to examine a wrecked ship nearby, a wrecked ship occupied by two fly people called the Tritivores.
I have.
I really like the set for their ship. It feels different in a way. I feel like we have this idea of most spaceships looking kind of like our rocket ships.
Well, most of the spaceships are like any non-Earth vessel we've been on is very warm toned. We see a lot of orange, red and purple, like hot pink purple lights being used. This one was way cooler. It had way more green and blue.
Yeah, like the security light when she's going down the shaft is a blue light. There is still some purples, but they're a cooler purple, I think.
Yeah. And I think that's also to emulate because Christina even says when they get in the ship how cold it is.
Yeah. I think it's also to contrast the fact that there's a desert, there's an orange desert outside.
Well, yeah.
So just the blue, having it blue in here gives it that a nice strong contrast. But I, more than that, I feel like most spaceship layouts we see look like Star Trek ships, you know, with this like center captain's console places like, and there's some of that, like you could still very clearly tell where like the people driving would sit there at the front of the ship. But the ship's layout itself doesn't feel like anything for humans.
Despite these having the most non-humanoid like face, but physicality, they were still very human.
Yeah, they're just like dudes with gloves and then a big helmet on, a big fly helmet. Yeah, like
they're
like,
gross it's just, little mouths.
It's one of those details they don't need to do, but I appreciate where they just like, we're gonna let this be different. It like their culture is so different from ours, we don't know what their ship should look like. But I do like that they apparently came to this planet to trade with its citizens because they're fly people and they feed on what others leave behind from their behind.
I think my eyes glazed over in that moment because I went, this is dumb.
Yeah, the fly people are there to buy shit. Not like at a market. They're there to buy poop.
Just come to the U.S., guys. There's shit everywhere.
And so the doctor finds out that the bus can no longer move. So they decide they're going to take part of, because it's out of petrol. So they decide that what they need to do is dive into part of the ship and take whatever makes the ship move, which is good later on when we find out it's perfectly fitted to four bus tires.
Mm-hmm. It just so happens that worked out awesome.
Yeah, I do like that. I do like that Christina gets a moment to replay with her her heist toys.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to, like, in addition to the shovel and the hammer and the axe, she pulls out her zipline. Zipline is probably not the right word.
No.
But her little equipment that lets her descend down into the room and fetch the gem at the base of it.
And the other thingies.
And the plates that the gem is attached to. And one of my favorite bits in it is after he attaches them, he's like, oh, I need something conductive, something malleable, but something that won't like corrode. I need gold. Does anyone here have gold? And obviously we know that she has the chalice, but she's not going to give up the chalice that she worked so hard to steal.
Worked so hard. She literally opened a hole in the roof,
which seems like a really big design flaw for the International Museum.
Descended down tens of feet.
Where no one was looking at a camera, I guess.
Yeah, and then Indiana Jones'd her way into replacing the chalice with a with a golden Maneki Neko.
I think that's the moment you really fell for her, was when she left behind a little golden Maneki Neko.
Yeah.
But I like that when he asks for gold, he clearly means I need the chalice. But Daniel Kaluuya comes up with his watch like, here, I've got this. This is gold.
Hey, use this.
I said gold.
It is gold.
Oh, I saw you coming.
And it's just a really nice beat where he's like, oh, man, I thought it was gold. And so the doctor, she hands the chalice over and she goes, all right, be careful with it. And he goes, I will. He smashes it with a hammer.
We have technology.
That's very good.
It's a good bit. And now the bus can fly.
Which, like, the only true issue I have with that is the bus can levitate. I don't know how it is being propelled forward or backwards.
Science. I think the doctor, even at one point, he gets asked, how does the ship move itself? And he's like, it's in a very clever, outery, spacey kind of way.
How does a crystal drive a bus?
In a super clever, outer spacey way. Trust me.
So that's how it does it. It's a very clever, outer spacey kind of way.
Sorry, I misunderstood. I'm just not clever enough to understand what outery, spacery kind of way would mean.
It's a big sheet of fabric of wibbly wobbly spacey wacy stuff.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
This is spacey wacy. See that before was timey wimey. This is spacey wacy.
Oh, sorry. Again, not clever enough.
And then the bus lands and some of the stingrays fall out. But luckily, Unit's there to shoot them down with their assorted missiles.
Yeah.
Which really makes you wonder this, that planet had 100 billion people on it, but didn't have a sizable enough military to blow them up with missiles.
You're also forgetting the part, though, where Malcolm figures out how to close the wormhole.
Oh, yeah. Where Malcolm figures out how to close the wormhole and his boss is like, you got to do it now. We don't have time to wait for the doctor.
And he just goes, no.
And her response is to threaten to shoot him.
Eh.
A-cab. Like, I feel like you could just arrest him.
A-cab.
You know, A-cab even when it's unit. You know, you're not wrong.
A-unit tab.
Yeah, and so, and even, but even after Malcolm's being threatened with being shot in the head, he goes, we will never surrender. And he just holds the keyboard real close to him like it's a security keyboard.
What a nerd.
But he proves out to be right as the doctor can fly through the wormhole and they shoot down all the stingrays. And then they have what felt like a real, like, almost like, this is the end of the movie. Like an end of like almost like a kid's movie from like the 90s.
You even notated that it was very Hook like yeah, music.
The music sounded like it came out of Hook or something like that.
It was very beginning of Home Alone.
Yeah, because I don't know. There's the doctor's like, oh, look at those two. You got Barclay, who's good with engines, and Nathan, who needs a job. Unit could hire him. They could be Unit's finest, Barclay and Nathan. And then he looks over at then Christina's like, all right, let's go on our adventures. We're going to have a whole season of adventures together, right? And the doctor's like, no, people get close to me. They get hurt. They forget who I am.
Everyone leaves me. I can't take anybody on with me, which I just heard. Fly home, buddy. I work alone.
Yeah, that's you're not wrong. That's really what it feels like.
That's exactly what it is.
You're not affiliated with me.
Yeah.
And so Christina goes and gets arrested. Like the police that have been chasing her for the stealing the chalice earlier, get her in some handcuffs. And just as the doctor's about to leave, though, Carmen has another psychic prophecy that the doctor's song is about to end.
Mm-hmm. He will hear four knocks.
He will knock four times.
He will hear four knocks.
Does that strike any thoughts for you, Cassie?
He will knock four times?
Yeah.
No, because we already had his hand stuff. No! God damn it! That guy!
Yeah, if you remember the master with the drums... He had four knocks going on in his head.
I guess that is four.
Yeah. I was curious if you were going to pick up on that or not. But also, it's been like more than a season since then. So I'm not totally surprised.
I'm also so tired.
Well, we'll wrap this up here because something about hearing that prophecy makes the doctor decide to let Christina go. So he uses his little sonic screwdriver to unlock her handcuffs, and then just shenanigans ensue.
Well, because it's my favorite trope of sliding into a car, and then while the other person is also getting in the car, you are getting out of the car.
Yeah, they slide in, and then she just like keeps going, I'm going to go out this side then, which I don't think that's how police cars work. I'm pretty sure the back seats lock. Like,
at least
child locks.
American like patrol
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, maybe British patrol cars are different, but I'm pretty sure that's not how that works. And so she runs away and hops in the bus and then flies away from the police.
Everybody's cheering for her.
Most of them having no idea who she is or why she's escaping the police. She's just flying away in her crime bus off to perform more shenanigans and heists.
I was thinking about like where she could possibly go, where she could still like hide in a double decker flying bus.
Hogwarts.
No, the only place I could think of was Brazil, but
you know, Brazil with its flying buses.
Yeah. And she could hide in the rainforest.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That was our second of the last four Tenet specials. We only got two more after this.
Oh, no.
How are you feeling about them so far, this being the way he's ending his run?
I mean, I really liked this one. I am upset that we won't get any more Christina, because I do like the, I did like the banter.
Mm-hmm.
I am not looking forward to having two more rounds of Companion of the Week.
Well, next episode's kind of interesting, because there's not so much a specific Companion of the Week for that one. He arrives on a space station, and sort of there's a bunch of people on that one.
Oh my god, is it Satellite 5?
It's not Satellite 5. The next one is called The Waters of Mars.
Okay.
And I will let you know, it features our first actually named Asian character.
Hooray!
And we will find out about that together on the next episode of Who is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
You want, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I was going to try to say who is my doctor, but by only going, but I don't think I can.
Who is my doctor?
Stop.
Who is my doctor?
I'm going to need you to stop. The police, the paramedics are outside for you right now.
There's a double-decker flying bus outside that's here to get me if I keep going, who is my doctor?
Zach, I need you to stop now. You're frightening me.
Okay.
It's in the same vein as when everybody in a room starts talking backwards. It's scary and I hate it.
Okay.
Zachary!
So here's the thing. Neither of us recognized Lee Evans in the role of Malcolm in this episode. And I just found it out as I'm finishing up this episode. For those of you who don't know, Lee Evans was one of the main characters in one of Cassie's all-time favorite movies, Mouse Hunt. And she did not recognize him. She's asleep right now, but this means that I get the unique joy of watching her freak out in the morning when she makes that connection. Oh, that's going to be fun. And if you had fun with this episode, be sure you subscribe to get updated with future podcasts. Leave us a review or a comment to help us with the algorithms. And if you'd like to yell at me about how bad my Scouse accent is, come find us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Next week, it's time for the Time Lord Victorious. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.